Hello, everybody. Welcome to Come Lose It with Matt Duncan. This is the May podcast 2024. We're finally getting it in. It's been about a month, but we're still sticking to that bi-weekly schedule, okay? We're doing our best here, folks. Doing our best. It's a strange time for me mentally, but we're doing our best, okay? So we're coming in. We're going to talk about some things. We're going to get to know Matt a little better, and then we're going to go about our lives, and I'm going to try and keep it nice and tight so you're not stuck on it too long, you know? Hopefully you're at the gym, you're going for a walk, or maybe you're just in bed with a nice drink. Who knows? Who knows? That's always what I'm going for with the pod. Hopefully it's you're not just staring at the screen, imagining my lips moving. So here we go. How's everybody? How are you doing? How has it been in spring? Are your allergies getting a little tricky? Have you gotten over that flu that kind of took you down, that possible COVID that, I don't know, there's some new variant out now. Nobody gives a shit. You get a variant and you hope that you don't get POTS. That's the thing now. Just hopefully we don't get POTS. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look up POTS and its correlation to COVID. Apparently it's really gone up and it's kind of been one of my fears. It's a terrible heart condition and I really don't want to get POTS. I think I'm okay. It's been well over a month, month and a half, 5 weeks since I had that terrible cold. I think on the last podcast, I sounded pretty fucking sick. You could really hear it. You could really hear it in me still. Hard to shake that one. Had a terrible cough for a couple weeks after. And what are you going to do? You know, you got to put your immune system through it. You got to let your body repair. Speaking of which, I thought maybe I was going to have to bounce from this recording. I was kind of holding off on doing it because my car is in the shop. And my car hasn't been in the shop for some years. So when you have an old car and you know, it does start to need some work. And you see it. I'm someone that does some of the minor things. You know, I talk about my car a lot on here. And I do a lot of things to save us money. And when I get under the car and I notice that there's some leaks going on, and I know it's coming, but I finally just bit the bullet, went to a friggin' mechanic. Every mechanic I've gotten since I've moved back to this part of the world has moved away. So this one seems like it would be pretty constant for the rest of our time while we're living in Newmarket, which is fine. Because, you know, this is just the hometown stopover, folks. You know we're not going to be here forever. You know that when we leave here, probably won't be coming back, especially when all the parents are gone. I don't want to come back. I don't want to be a ghost around here anymore. I'll be gone, and that'll be it. We're just going to leave this town in our memories, and that's where it'll live. But the car's in the shop. You know, it's costing us a lot of money, but it's going to keep the car going for a number of years, I'm sure. And there are things that happen. Hey, the engine light turned on for the first time ever. 18 years this car is old, the age of this car. And it was the first time that it turned on. And I knew it was coming because the temperature on my engine was down. The gauge was down just a little bit. And I was like, that's not right. Your engine should never be running low because it doesn't burn fuel. It doesn't burn fuel properly when your engine is running cooler. And the reason for that is because your coolant thermostat is gone. And when it goes, it's designed to stay open. So the coolant goes right through the system and it's really hard for the engine to heat up. And I think the whole purpose of that is to signal an engine light check and to get it replaced. So that's being replaced amongst some other things underneath there. But I won't bore you anymore with that. Just know that I was going to maybe have to run out of here. And I had to bike to the mechanic because we only have one car. And I had to bike home in a rainstorm. And that was nice. Felt good. Feels good in my life right now. But it could be worse. It could always be worse, right, folks? I could have no legs or something. I could have lost my legs in a fucking, like, a grocery cart accident. I don't know. We'll see what happens with life. We're just going to keep going, I guess. There was a big lockout rally for the actors. Now, haven't been a ton of auditions. It's been weeks and weeks since I've been getting any on-camera auditions, and then all of a sudden I had four over a weekend. Very stressful. It wasn't happy. It's just getting to the point now where I don't care anymore. I'm just tired of it, and I want away from all of it because it doesn't seem like it's ever getting better. But ACTRA went down to Queen's Park in Toronto to go to question period and say some speeches and hopefully get the government to pay a little more attention to what's going on as we are now over 2 years into this lockout. Now I say, as I tell everyone now, when they ask about it, I am tired of talking about it. I'm tired of telling you about it, but just try to imagine whatever job you have, think about the income that you're making for the year and then drop it by 80%. Okay. Just drop it by 60 to 80% and let me know if that works for you. If it doesn't, maybe give us a little bit of support. Thanks, babe. If you got a cell phone provider in Canada, you might want to check on the deals right now. Log in and see if you've got a better plan deal. I don't know what the fuck it is. It's Mad Max now with cell phone plans. They change every day. You check in and see that there's different prices. I'm with Fido. I've been with Fido a very long time. I don't want to be with them, but what am I going to do at this point? I've built some seniority, I guess, with them. Doesn't feel like I have, though, but I'm just about to drop my bill by $15, and I think the phone that I was paying for, I'm saving about $50 a month now, dropping her in like almost half, which is good. You gotta check on that stuff because they'll never come to you and say like, hey, would you like to pay $15 cheaper and have $10 more gigabits of data? Or they're not like that. They'll let you keep paying. I'm sure there's people out there that when the iPhone first came to Canada, there was a special where you could get 6 gigabytes of data a month, and it was like $30 just for the data plan. I remember that being $30. I was definitely paying well over $100, probably like $115 or something a month. And that there's probably people still on that have never upgraded their plan. I don't know. Is that crazy? You can't get a data plan that small anymore. It's not possible because we need data too much. Back then, it was like a goofy thing. Like, what are you gonna? You're gonna watch a movie on your phone? What are you gonna do? How much music are you gonna download? What are you talking about? It's not gonna happen. There's no Uber. There's none of that shit. There's none of that location service shit that you need internet all the time. So, anyways, check out your plan, okay? Because they're the fucking worst in Canada. The cell phone companies, the telecom companies are the fucking worst, and we pay the most money. I want you to save some fucking money, okay? Big news, though, in my ACTRA benefits. You know, I've had ACTRA benefits for a long time. I got them when I was like a stud of a commercial actor, getting residuals. You know, I've been top-tier benefits for many, many years. I pay to keep them up, as I've been told by a union member. And, yeah, it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. And they finally gone paperless. Holy fuck. Oh. Okay. Oh, no, we don't need two. We just need one. That's good. Yeah, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I've had to fill out these documents every time that I've had a massage. I've had chiropractor work. I've had naturopath, any of that stuff that isn't dental. I have to like manually fill out a sheet, attach the receipt to this thing, and then mail it in. I have to get stamps, mail this motherfucker in, and it takes at least 3 to 4 weeks to get that check back. It is so frustrating. I hate it. And they finally have switched over to a claim secure service or whatever so that we can get direct deposit. Probably get it within a couple of days. You can just upload the receipts. Like, I cannot believe it took them this long. And then with all this lockout shit, like, they're just not making as much money with the strike and stuff. They're saving money on the postage and everything. You know, someone's got to go through all that shit and mail stuff out, print checks. It's probably cost them a fortune. They're probably saving more money now. They just didn't have, I don't know, the structure or something to do it until now. But that, let me tell you something. Murdoch, he's going to be pretty fucking happy. Run the Burbs, that cast, they're going to fucking love it. Heartland, they're fucking jumping for joy right now. Jumping for joy. The fact that poor Murdoch has been having to, every time the poor guy gets his massages or whatever, he's got to mail it in. Probably drives him fucking crazy. I'm just thinking about Murdoch. And let me tell you, I don't know how many times I have to audition for this show. I'll never get it. And I think if I have any wisdom that I can pass on to actors in Canada, if you've auditioned for Murdoch Mysteries more than 5 times, you should probably quit. If you cannot get on this show, and I'm talking about myself right now, I think you've lost the spirit. The spirit is gone, and you need to move on, and that's what I'm working on. I'm working on moving away, because it's just, I think I'm in what's known as hell right now. This is a version of hell, maybe not quite hell, maybe purgatory. Feels purgatory-ish. Feels like that's where I am, and I need to get out of there and reach for the heavens a little bit, because I don't want to do this anymore. If we're looking at, like, your life is in 3/3, and I've done 2, and, you know, hopefully you get the third. Maybe it's there's 4 quarters if you're lucky. Who knows? Hard to say with the way the world's going. I think my generation is the first one that's not gonna outlive their parents or something. I saw some stats about that. The millennials will not outlive the boomers. That's pretty fucked up. I don't know. A lot of boomers are dropping. In my life, there's a lot of death going on around me right now, but that's okay. Hey, baby, that's life, girl. So anyway, yeah, let's just move on from that and just say I'm happy. That's one thing I don't have to worry about anymore or wait for, because I'm a bit of an impatient person, you know. When your car's in the shop, you want to know how it's going. I've got a car right now, and it's in fucking surgery right now. I don't know how it's going. I don't know how the flex pipe is going to fuse to the catalytic converter, or the thing on the back, the suspension things that they're replacing, or the cooling lines on the transmission. I'm pretty much rebuilt. It's like I have a car's RoboCop now. It's RoboCop. Once you replace it with enough shit, it becomes a whole other car. So it's time. It's fine. I'm not pissed. Everything's fine. You know who is pissed though? It's Jerry Seinfeld. Let's talk about Jerry a little bit. And I actually have a little reading I'd like to do for you, because, you know, Jerry's been complaining. He's in the news right now. He's promoting his new movie, which I'm going to watch. I really am going to watch. And, you know, stay tuned for my review on Letterboxd, if you follow me there. You don't. I will be watching The Unfrosted, because I just want to see what all the hoopla is. Is it as bad as people are saying? This guy comes out of the woodwork. He does, like, the B-movie 20 years ago, and then he's done this one. He's got nothing to do. He's a billionaire. He's just having some fun. Leave Jerry alone. But he had some comments about the anti-wokeness and all this shit, and it's weird coming from Jerry. That you can't make, he's saying, like, they don't make sitcoms, they can't make sitcoms anymore because of the wokeness or something. Jerry, I've talked about this on the show, multicam sitcoms are just a thing of the past. It's a golden era that has gone by, and I think it just needs to be retired. I don't think people are into that format anymore, and because people are watching on such small devices now, it doesn't really work on there. Sometimes it does. You get something that's enjoyable, but the multicam, I think, needs to be put to bed, and I will stand on that grave and I will piss on it. But Jerry thinks the anti-wokeness, the commies, just, you know, you can't, you're so afraid to upset anybody, and we're so cautious and everything. And I don't think that's really the case. I think that there are certain groups of people that are being ostracized and murdered and abused, and we're just trying to protect them a little bit because it's leading to bad stuff. Sure, you can joke about whatever you want. I'm definitely someone that flirts with that line all the time. But you just have to know what you're feeding into, Jerry. And you're not the person that needs to be arguing about wokeness. Your comedy is nowhere, like, I mean, I guess on Seinfeld you had some episodes that might not age very well because they were dealing with maybe some racial issues, stereotypes, like the one about, especially the one about the Indians. Yeah, when you're, you know, doing the all the stereotypical phrases and stuff about Indian people. You had fun with that one, and it was great at the time, but yeah, you can't really do those ones anymore. I get that. I get that you're upset about that. But you don't want people doing Jewish jokes and stuff. You're very sensitive about that stuff. But look, I have a copy of Jerry Seinfeld Sign Language from 1993. This is like season four. It's finally humming, Seinfeld, at this point. And he wrote a book with all of his, it's like his act, really. It's his act. And I think a lot of these jokes I kind of remember from seeing at the beginning of Seinfeld. And they are very anti-woke. They're edgy. They are, he's definitely a Lenny Bruce with his words here. So I'll just read you some just to know that some of these jokes, you know, I'll say them here. I will say them here, but you can't say them anywhere else anymore. And this could get me canceled just for repeating some of these jokes here, okay? Okay, here's Jerry. The problem with talking is that nobody stops you from saying the wrong thing. Interesting. I think life would be a lot better if it was like you're always making a movie. You mess up, somebody just walks on the set and stops the whole shot. Think of the things you wish you could take back. You're out somewhere with people. Boy, you look pregnant, are you? Cut, cut, cut. That's not going to work at all. Walk out the door, come back in. Let's take the whole scene again. People, think about what you're saying. See, you can't say things like that anymore. Pregnant women will come after you. Jokes about pregnant women, people perceived as being pregnant, can't do it. Jerry did it at the time. He's lucky he got in just in time. Here's another one that doesn't work anymore. I love my phone machine. I wish I was a phone machine. I wish if I saw somebody on the street I didn't want to talk to, I could just go, excuse me, I'm not here right now. If you just leave a message, I can walk away. I also have a cordless phone, but I don't like that much because you can't slam down a cordless phone. You get mad at somebody on a real phone, you can't talk to me like that, bang, it's over. But a cordless phone, you can't talk to me like that. All right, now, let me just find that little thing to turn this off. Just hang on, I'm hanging up on you. Boom, 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 boom. Things you can't say anymore. Now, the reason he can't say that one is because nobody knows what an answering machine is. They know what voicemail is, and nobody knows what a cordless phone is. That is for a different generation, and I do know. I remember turning off a cordless phone. It was a tricky little fucking thing. Jerry, I don't know why you were the king of the anti-woke parade. This is weird. Doesn't really fit. I just want to say that is from Jerry Seinfeld Sign Language. Came out in 1993. I opened up the cover and it said, "To Eric, love Debbie, Merry Christmas, 93. Holy shit. This is probably the last gift my mom gave my dad before they split up. Isn't that fucking crazy? Right there. Jerry Seinfeld. Last thing before we move on to the fitness update. RFK Jr.'s got brain worms. Everyone's talking about the brain worms. Everyone's worried that they might have had... I might have a brain worm that's been chewing on my brain a little bit. I like that it chews and then it dies and then you just got a dead worm in your head. I've never wanted him to be president more. After hearing that RFK Jr. has a brain worm and it's eaten part of his brain, he has to understand that we think he's crazy already. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., your dad would be like, what the fuck is going on here? Little Liberty and all that. He's got a fucking brain worm. You better fucking donate that brain worm to science because I think the worm's doing all the talking. The fucking worm, oh God, it's endless. He's going to be asked about it. I hope he goes to the debates and he gets asked about the fucking brain worm. Can you imagine RFK Jr. and the brain worm versus Biden versus Trump? It's going to be crazy. They're going to do two debates. They're going to do two debates, one in September, I think one in the summer or something like that. Oh God, that's going to be good TV. It's going to be good TV. Like Trump might be in jail. Who knows? Who friggin' knows, dogs? Let's the fuck move on! Meow!
Fitness update.
Okay, fitness update, not so great. Ever since I got that sickness, I've sometimes when you're unable to work out, and I think I did after I got sick, like even a week after I got back on the bike and I was trying stuff and I was like, okay. But then I just like mentally, physically, I was down and out and I've fallen off. So I have not done much. But the good thing is, you know, we keep track, and part of a little pandemic party that we've done with the exercise bike for inside is I have these kilometer distances that I'm trying to reach on the odometer, and I finally reached a new destination, hit my music, we're taking her to Aruba. Oh shit, this is the first trip I ever fucking took in my life, and I just reached it. 3,600 kilometers from where I am now to Aruba. First trip ever, first time ever on a plane, went to Aruba. If you don't know where it is, it's in the Caribbean. It's very, very south Caribbean. It's like just a little bit north of Venezuela. And, you know, it was a hell of a trip. It was the first time I've ever been to a beach like that, seen an ocean like that. It was beautiful, small, lots of casinos that I couldn't go into. And yeah, it was kind of the last trip. It was like I had 2 years in a row where it was like my dad, I think, was trying to prepare me for my new life and saying goodbye to the one I lived to that point, because my parents were getting a divorce. And by that time, it was over and they've both moved on immediately. So yeah, it was a quick transition and I got to go to Florida and Aruba, and that's just how it worked for me. Turned out okay, I guess. Anywho, I've stopped drinking for the most part. I had a bit of a binge weekend. I was at my in-law's work weekend at her cottage. And I have an issue where if I'm in a social situation, then I'm a little bit nervous. And I haven't been in a ton of social situations since COVID, really, to think about it. If you offer me a drink, I'm going to take it. It's rare for me to turn down a drink when I'm nervous, and you won't know that I'm drunk because I can drink a lot. And I was quite drunk that night, and I outdrank the drunkest guy, and I was like, oh no, this is going to be a bad day. And I got real fucking hungover, couldn't like do any work for most of the day. And it was pure hell. It was pure hell. I was sharing a room with two other guys and it just felt like hell. That hangover, man, I can't do it anymore, you know? So I've been really, really, I've probably since that time I've had like 3 beers over 3 weeks, you know, like it's just one drink, haven't pounded it at all. Just, I feel like it's starting to get scary with the binge drinking and stuff. So I'm going to try and cool that down as much as I can. And, you know, I'm drinking a lot of kombucha now. For some reason, I'm into the kombucha. And that's good. It's not so bad for you. There's not a ton in it. It's got the fizz. It's got like a nice, a sweet taste, but there's no friggin' sugar. So, you know, I like it. I really do like it. Well, my wife is not as happy because she's been the kombucha queen for all this time. So it's been a weird time fitness update wise. Okay, guys, I'm not really focused on anything. I'm just trying to survive right now. I've gone through days where I've starved myself. I've gone through days where I've tried to eat better. I'm going to go for a bike ride right after this podcast. It's nice weather. I'm going to go down to the path and go for a ride. It looks like to me the car is not ready and it will not be until tomorrow. I just knew it wasn't going to be fucking ready. I just fucking knew. What are you going to do?
Health news. News that is health related.
You know, we should just move right on to the health news, because I was talking about drinking and talking about being worried about it. And I was like, God, sometimes I just wish there was a way that I could drink and not feel the effects and still be a part of the social dynamic going on. And apparently there's a new gel that breaks down alcohol in the body. Researchers have developed a protein-based gel that breaks down alcohol in the gastrointestinal tract without harming the body. In the future, people who take the gel could reduce the harmful and intoxicating effects of alcohol. So we could like gloop some of this gel, get some of this belly gel going, and we'd be able to drink, and it wouldn't be putting all the pressure on the liver to filter this out and to recover. And it would help with inflammation. It would help with, you know, people that are chronic drinkers getting cancer risks, stuff like that. Apparently, according to the World Health Organization, around 3 million people die every year from excessive alcohol consumption. Now, I know a lot of people in my life and in my family who, I don't know how they survive. There's outliers out there. They drink like friggin' crazy, and they somehow survive. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know if it's their generation. No idea. But I feel like our generation, the millennial generation, is a little bit softer. So we probably need this gel, okay? Just explaining how it works, the gel shifts the breakdown of alcohol from the liver to the digestive tract. As I said, in contrast to when alcohol is metabolized in the liver, there's no harmful acetaldehyde being produced as the intermediate product. And apparently that is a toxic, and it's responsible for many health problems caused by excessive alcohol consumption. So what if we give this to alcoholics, though? Is it just going to mean they can drink forever? you know, it's like there is some concerns with this. But apparently the gel is working great in mice. It's helping with the alcohol metabolism, and I'm patents pending right now, but hey, you know, I'm going to a work weekend or something, or you're going to a work weekend, you're going somewhere where you feel like you gotta drink to have fun, and or maybe you just like the taste of a nice cocktail. You want to drink four margaritas and just have a little bit of a buzz, not a full buzz, but you still want to drink four, you know? So maybe this alcohol gel will be for you. So keep an eye out. It's protein-based, beautiful alcohol gel. I can't fucking wait. Okay, we are moving along, folks. We are friggin' moving along, and this is fantastic. I like this. We're keeping it nice and tight. I don't want to waste your time, and we need to focus on the end of the month when we do another one, right? The end of May. Got to look to June. The fires are coming, guys. We talked about this last year. Fort McMurray in Canada and Alberta, it's very close to being on fire again. And it's going to probably be a pretty bad year for the fires once again. So as I said last time, make sure you got those MERV 12, at least MERV 12 ratings on your furnace filters. I watched the Kevin Spacey doc today. Okay, there's a Kevin Spacey 2 episodes, Unmasked. It's called Kevin Spacey Unmasked. And it's about all the allegations, and not the people that took him to court and lost, but the people, just other people that like worked on House of Cards, people that like started when he started his career in theater in the early 80s. It seems like Kevin Spacey has been rubbing his dick up on people for a really long time. He likes to corner people and rub his dick on them or pull them out or force them into sexual acts. Seems like there's too many decades here where people are like, oh yeah, he's been, you know, when there's a guy in the 80s and there's a guy in the 2000s saying, like, doing the exact same thing, you obviously have an issue. And I don't know what happened with those cases and why he was acquitted. I'm sure there wasn't enough. It was more like he said, type of evidence, right? It's hard to prove that stuff. And that's probably what got him off for the most part. But like, there's no fucking doubt Kevin Spacey isn't this guy. He just seems, and he seems like he's got a, you know, you talk to his brother is a Rod Stewart impersonator, very strange fellow. Sounds kind of like they're estranged, but he kind of explains how fucked up their childhood was, and their dad was a monster and a Nazi and everything else. It's pretty fucked up. So I'm not saying to feel sympathetic for Kevin Spacey, but I'm saying that there were some coals in the fire to get him going. Kevin Spacey will never come back and have the career that he did. I don't know. I'm over it. He's a millionaire. He's fine. Yeah, I mean, it's just all a bit gross, you know? It's gross. I can just really feel what these guys have gone through, and fucking sucks. Speaking of other shit, we'll just move on from Kev Space, but give it a watch. Steve Buscemi was punched in the face in New York City. Steve Buscemi, he might as well be the Prince of New York. Used to be a firefighter, became an actor, 9/11 happens, went back to his firehouse, he was digging people out of the rubble. The guy is loved in New York, and some psychopath punched him in the face, which I've always been very afraid of New York City. I've always been very afraid. Because I hear you get mugged, and I hear you get punched. And if these guys, there was someone else that got decked, too. Oh, Rick Moranis. Rick Moranis also got these guys. Wild. Wild. Who's next? Who's fucking next? Everybody's on the table. Giuliani? Oh, he's not a hero there anymore, is he? So Buscemi was punched in the face, and apparently he did some damage. He had to go to the hospital, and a punch in the face can be pretty dangerous, you know? It can kill you, just like that guy from Twin Peaks. You know, he was at, like, a Just Desserts or something, and he got punched in the head and had a complaint about headaches the next day, and he was dead. Punching in the face is a serious thing. Oh, I'm just feeling my... All of a sudden, right in this moment, I just start to feel my allergies. Fuck! God damn it. Steve Buscemi, we love you. Here at the podcast, my whole crew here, my producers, my writers, my copywriters, my sound engineers, we all love you. And we hope you have a quick recovery. And you're back out there doing whatever you want. Now, this is kind of from a while ago, but there's a guy named Forey J. Smith. He's an actor. He's a bit of a, you know, he's playing the part that he is. You know, he's a rancher. He's on the Yellowstone show. And he was sitting on a plane. He was drunk. And he was sitting on a plane next to someone who was wearing a mask. And he freaked out. He's like, I don't feel comfortable. And they had to remove him from the plane. And then it became this whole fucking same saga we're used to. What the fuck? What do you care if someone is wearing a mask? They are only protecting you from them for the most part. Hopefully getting a little protection from your drunk ass. I don't get it. It's anti-vax shit. We've got 10-year highs with measles now. All because of this shit. Ugh, it's terrible. Forey J. Smith, he's very frustrating. He's fine on the show. I've watched it. It's fine. It's a fine show. It's whatever. It's ending. But it just really pisses me off because I think if I fly, I'm going to wear a mask. 100%. You know, they tested the wastewater in those planes and there's like 98% of them had COVID in them. So I'm just like, I don't want to start a trip sick. Okay. Is that all right? Forey J. Smith. The Leafs are out again. The Toronto Maple Leafs with the team that I cheer for. Look, we knew it was coming. You could probably go back to episodes over this season where I have mentioned them time and time again, and I didn't really have a good feeling about it. I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure some of the fans could pull up the script, and you can see that they are out again, and we don't know what the fuck's going to happen. The coach has been fired, and we're trying to trade all these stars now, and it's a shit show. It's a shit show, and it sucks. It sucks that we can't get over the hump ever. And that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. So you just gotta, I don't know. I'd quit them if I could. That's not why, when you're a diehard fan of a sports team, you don't just, you can't leave now. It's like roulette's been turning black this whole time, but it's going to go red eventually. I just got to keep betting on red, and that's going to feel good. But, you know, it is what it is. It sucks. I hope that they do something. I hope there is more of a shake. Coaches out, that's good. We'll see what happens this off season. Last thing I'll talk about is vampire facials. Have you had one? Have you thought about getting some vampire facials? Everybody is just jamming shit inside their fucking face. Botox, fillers, vampire facials. Apparently, 3 women diagnosed with HIV after getting vampire facials in New Mexico. Okay, so I guess what the process of this, let's go through it. So they obviously were reusing unsterile needles and stuff, because I think what they do is they extract your blood. So it's You draw the client's own blood, you separate its components, and then using tiny needles to inject plasma into the face to rejuvenate the skin. So, yeah, you're taking your blood out and you're splitting it apart and you're taking the plasma and you're throwing it back in. But they're, I guess this place didn't have some clean needles. Trying to get the vampire facial, and now I've got fucking AIDS from just trying to look less plump. Oh, God. God damn it. I don't know how I feel about people doing this shit, you know? Come on, make sure you fucking go to a place that's reputable and you trust. Fuck, don't just go anywhere and get this shit done. Ugh. It's absolutely crazy. And I love vampires. I'm going to watch the new movie Abigail, but this is very different. Abigail ain't about vampire facials. Sounds kind of like a blood porn. Yuck. That's enough. That's it. We've wrapped it. Thank you for listening. If you are a Google Podcasts subscriber in Canada, you need to get off that by the end of June. They've put the date out. You won't be able to listen to your podcast anymore. Google Podcasts is going away. I'm on YouTube. If you want to fucking listen to it there, whatever. Apple. Everywhere else. Apparently iHeartRadio is where I get a lot of listens. That's weird. I don't know where you... People are using that app. They play fucking ads. That's cool, though. Who doesn't love ads? Especially when you're an actor getting paid to be in them. We'll see you at the end of May.